Now look at the second part of verse 8. He introduces the second part of this concept. He says, establish your hearts. That's an imperative. There are four imperatives through here, and this is one of them. And he says, establish your heart. What does that mean? Stay erixane or stay ridzane means to enlarge it, to bolster it, kind of like on Wednesday night, there were so many people in the balcony, I was hoping that we could put extra poles under it, you know? I distinctly heard sounds of creaking. Now, I know it wasn't, but it was just, you know, parental care. But it was so jammed, they were sitting in the aisles and everything else, that I was thinking about establishing it more. But he says here, look at verse 8, the first part. Establish, put props under your hearts so you don't give in. Why? Because the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, when you're trusting God in His will and looking for Christ's return, what should you be doing? Well, get your heart ready, he says, establish your heart. Look at verse 9. Do not grumble against one another. Do you remember what Peter said when Jesus was talking to him in John 21 by the shore of the Sea of Galilee? Remember Jesus made a little fire there in John 21 and he had some fish on it and some bread and they had fished all night. Remember the story? It's so beautiful. And Jesus says, throw your nets on the other side. And Peter says, no, you've fished all night, but for you we will. And he threw the net on the other side and it about sunk the boat. Remember that? John leans over and says, the Lord. So Peter throws himself, swims to shore, and comes to Jesus. And Jesus restores him. Three times says, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Now, you know what Peter did? He did what all of us do. He looked at the Lord and he said, so they're going to take me where I don't want to go and they're going to bear me around. In other words, he was going to be crucified upside down and all that we know from history. He says, what about John? He was grumbling. What about him? Is he going to have bad stuff happen to him? You know what happens to us? We compare ourselves with other Christians. We say, Lord, how come I have this problem? Why don't they have that problem? How come they do that? How come they get to do that? Why don't I get to do that? And look what he says in verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Why? Because the judge is standing right outside the door. I love to do this. I love to send the kids up, and I quietly walk up behind them. And I send them up to do something in the room, and I'll just stand outside the door and listen. If I hear, oh, I can't believe I have to clean this room. You're always making me clean this room. I don't want to clean this room. And I just quietly open the door and smile. Their eyes get big, and they go, I love to clean the room. I really do. I want to do it right now, you know. Why? It's the presence of authority in their life. It totally makes them want to conform. And you know what he's saying? Look at verse 9. He says, if you want to have your tongue under control, remember the judge. Jesus Christ is standing outside the door, listening to everything, watching everything. That's the fear of God. It's to acknowledge in my life that God sees me. And he says this, a normal Christian, is trusting what God has said enough to be looking for Him outside the door all the time. I mean, He's outside the door of your office and outside the door of your bedroom and outside the door of your car and outside the door of everywhere. And not in a spying way, but in a loving way. He's standing there. And He wants you to acknowledge that. So He says, don't grumble. And verse 10, look at the prophets. They spoke in the name of the Lord. Take them as an example of suffering and patience. Now, what does this mean? What is he talking about, those prophets? Well, let me read to you Hebrews 11:13. And this is what he says about those prophets. He says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They were assured of them, they embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They trusted God's word enough to look for God, even when He didn't come. They looked for Him. And look what it says in Hebrews 11:13. They received His word, and they saw it, and they were assured of it, and they embraced it, but they never got it. Everything He said was going to happen to this planet didn't happen in their lifetime. But they embraced His word and His promises, and they looked for Him to fulfill it. They looked for Christ. They looked for God. Do you look for God in your life? He says, yes, be patient like the prophets. Verse 11, indeed we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. What's that? What did God take Job through? 41 chapters of boils and children dying and wife griping and friends condemning. What did all that happen for? Job 42 and verse 5 gives the end. Let me read to you the end. Job confesses, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now, through physical pain of my treasures being lost, through the emotional duress of my children being lost, through the incredible pain of my health being lost, through the emptiness of my wife deserting me emotionally, through the criticism of my friends, and through the pressure of all this. Listen, verse 5. But now my eye sees you. Do you see what God says? He says, if you trust God's word enough, and if you look for the Lord, you'll see him. You'll see him. You know, I can just see the Lord. Every time I get in this book, I can see him. And when I pray, I can see him at work in people's lives. This week, I don't know if you know it, I hope some of you know it, but I specifically believe that the Lord was working in the life. I had such a burden to pray for individuals, and I mean, it was so distinct that it just stopped me. It's kind of like when a pain hits you, you know how you can't move. There's an awareness of prayer, and it's almost like the Lord is saying, the window is open. Do you want me to do something? And I hope that you are so involved in prayer that God can say, the window is open. Do you see my hand? Do you want to ask me to change how I act through prayer as I intervene in their lives? Be like Job. Be like the prophets. Why? Because look at the end of verse 11. The Lord is very compassionate. He is merciful. Verse 12, but above all, brethren, don't swear either by heaven or by earth with any oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. Trust God's word enough to be looking for him in your conversation. He already said don't grumble. Another thing he says, don't do all this dishonesty. What they used to say, the Jews used to have this thing, and they'd say, okay, I swear by my beard. I don't have one this morning, but they, you know, stroke it and say, I swear by my beard. You know what that meant? That meant I'm not going to do it. They'd say, I swear by my cloak. But only if they swore by God and the gold in the temple would they have to obey what they said. And it was just a whole bunch of, kind of like our legal system today, there was no absolutes, and it just was all kind of murky. You know what he says? Don't get involved in that. When you talk, look at verse 12. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Someone called me on the phone, left a message, and said, I was recently at a meeting of the owner of one of the largest businesses in town, and they said, I want you to know that one of your members in your church was mentioned in the meeting. This is someone who doesn't go to our church. They called my home answering machine, left me this message. And they said, you want to know who it was? Call me back. And then they thought about it for a second, and they thought, maybe I wouldn't call them back. So they told me who it was and said, it was a good thing. Call me back. So I called them back. I don't think I would have called them back for the gossip part, but for the blessing part, I did. And I said, tell me. And they said, the owner of this business said to his managers, I wish you would all be as honest. And he named someone in our church that's a businessman. They said, that man, look at verse 12, his yes is yes, and his no is no. Now, this man talking isn't a Christian, as far as I know. And his managers, I don't know whether they're Christians. The one was. But you know what that man has is his impression of one of our businessmen? He tells the truth. And that's so novel in our world that he pointed it out. He says, be like him. And you know what? The Lord says, all of us be that way. If we say we're going to do something, we swear to our own hurt. Why? Because we trust God's word enough that we're looking for him. And he's coming. And who wants to be found not being faithful when Christ comes? That's the idea of this.